Oh, I think it's because you're on Periscope, Omar. You might need to mute it while you're on.
Okay, it doesn't matter. I'm talking to you, so let's ride.
Y'all better not come to my studio with that fake shit. Y'all better not come to my funeral with that fake shit. Y'all better off realizing there's nothing that y'all could do with me. All I ever ask is keep it 8 more than 92 with me, 100.
What up, though? iHeartMiko Podcast. I am she. Thank you, everyone, for joining me today. We're going to go live. We're live on video. If you're just listening to this, you missed the live broadcast. I am now doing video. This shit will be on YouTube. This shit will be on Facebook. This shit will be on Periscope. I'm working on Instagram Live as well. But today, we're still hanging with the training camp interviews. We've got Omar Kelly on today. Of course, we have Omar Kelly on. It's too much shit happening in Miami, so we have to cover that. We'll talk a little bit about Cutler signing. We'll talk about why Kaepernick didn't get chosen. We'll talk about why Matt Moore wasn't chosen. A person that's been there, that knows the offense, ran it last year, got them to the playoffs. We're just going to really talk about the dumpster fire in the AFC East today. And although the Jets are trying to take that crown over, it's still the Dolphins. But we're going to have some fun today. Stick with me. iHeartMiko Podcast. Today is, what the fuck is the date? August 6th?
Yes.
Today is August 6th. We live, baby. Let's go. Mm-hmm. What's up, though?
Not much. Look at that studio. It's wonderful.
You like
it's
it?
Beautiful.
I haven't really jazzed it up yet, but you know it's about to happen. I hope you know that.
That's in the Tampa condo.
Yes, this is in the itty bitty titty committee condo here in Tampa. In our small, and I feel bad saying that it's small, but in comparison to our other homes, it's really small.
I'm sure it's close to practice. He's gonna be on time.
Yes,
it's all good. And you know you need some city life living.
I do
city life living.
Because last year I was in Odessa. For everybody that knows Tampa, I was up in Odessa with all the Trump supporters. I mean, every single one of my neighbors had a Trump sign in their yard, all of them. And I was looked at like an alien when I went to the grocery store. Like, oh my God, a nigger! There's a nigger in the grocery store, you guys. That's how I felt. I was like, oh my God. So now we're in the city. Brent was late a lot of times. And for those of you that don't know, it is a $5,000 minimum. That's the starting fine for being late. That's 30 seconds late. That's 3 seconds late. That's 3 hours late. It's $5,000 to start. So I just decided, you know, as a unit to save those coins that we needed to come down into the city. So we're in the city. We're in a much smaller place, but it's nice. It didn't start off nice, but we're here now. We're here, and this is where we're going to be for the season.
Yeah, hopefully I can come. You got a spare room so I can come visit?
I got an air mattress for you. You and Marilyn can lay right up in it. Y'all can cuddle right up. It's a nice one, though. It's one of those thick ones, not the cheap ones. I go all out for my guests. If I don't have a bed for you.
Boy, you really cut back. It's usually like 4 spare bedrooms.
I'm telling you, I have zero guest bedrooms. This room right here, it's supposed to be Brent's man cave, but he gave it to me for the podcasting room. So he's going to be playing. Are we okay?
Yeah, it's just my computer.
Oh, God. We're going to be playing. He's going to be playing his video games in the living room, which is where he is right now. But Omar, fuck all that. Fuck all of that. Let's get to the shit. There's some shit going on in the dumpster fire in the AFC East, right?
Oh, you call an AFC East a dumpster fire?
No. I said the dumpster fire of the AFC East.
That's what I'm saying. Don't you realize that the kings of the NFL reign in the AFC East?
Yeah, and you guys are the dumpster fire.
Okay. Okay.
You could not be this year because the Jets look like they want to take that back, that crown back from you.
Oh
guys.
No, the Jets are tanking. They're not even trying to win.
Yeah. So this year, you guys might not be the dumpster fire. You guys might be all right.
Man, Dolphins made the playoffs. Put some respect on their name.
Oh God, am I gonna have to hear this for the rest of my life that you guys made the playoffs the, 1 year on a sick bum?
Not you guys. Dolphins made the playoffs.
Bum-ass schedule where you barely beat three of the worst teams in the league. Stop bragging about getting your ass whooped in the playoffs, okay? Knock it off. You got your ass clipped when you got there, too. Like you didn't belong.
Just make sure Tampa show up week one, ready to go. Lock and loaded, taking on that Jay Cutler.
Listen, I can't. Let me just say this. I can't vouch for everyone. I can only vouch for Brent Grimes. Brent Grimes is going to be ready for Cutler. And second of all, don't act like Jay Cutler did not just put down a 12-pack last night before he signed this contract. What Cutler are you guys getting, first of all? Let's start this whole thing over. Tell everybody the Dolphins basically just said, fuck Kaepernick, we're going to sign a drunk nigga that retired that we might not even know if he even still wants to play football anymore. We would rather take our chance on a drunk white man than a black man that kneels and protests for black injustices.
Listen, just to address the Colin Kaepernick situation, I am fully aware and convicted in my belief and stance that Colin Kaepernick will not play in 2017 at all. He is being blackballed by the league, mm-hmm. and primarily for, I think it has more to do with making sure NFL players know their place than it does have the politics involved. Kaepernick embarrassed the league last year. Say what you want about it. Say whether or not the protests and social injustice is important. He separated himself from his peers, and that's not okay in the NFL. Whether you Colin Kaepernick or Tim Tebow, it's not okay.
So are you trying to tell me that he was the only player that kneeled? Is that what you're telling me, Omar?
No, he's not the only player.
So there were multiple players that were kneeled. So how come he's the only one that got blackballed? Tell me that. Explain it.
Because he was the face of the protest, and he inspired other players to basically say, I'm going to think for myself. I'm going to do something that I feel is important for my culture, and I don't care what anybody else thinks. And that's not okay in the NFL world.
I think it has a lot more to do with the fact that he's a quarterback, and that position is for the white man. Let's be honest. The quarterback position is for the white man, and if you're a black man playing that position, you better dance, monkey, dance. Otherwise, they will get you the fuck out of here. Now, if you happen to be great, if you happen to be elite,
they'll tolerate you.
They will tolerate you. They will try to muzzle you. They will try to do whatever they can. But most of the elite quarterbacks are white. Let's just keep it real.
Yeah.
They're white. And well, they ain't going to be kneeling.
Russell Wilson.
He's white.
Do you think that if Russell Wilson joined Colin Kaepernick, that he would be treated or viewed any differently in the NFL? I don't think so.
It's hard for me to even say things like that when we're talking about people that really don't fit the mold. Russell Wilson is not he's not an activist. How would he even put himself in that position? He probably believes that black people are tripping for thinking that police are killing us. Like, I can't even do that. You would have to switch it up a little bit and maybe try Cam Newton or some shit, because Russell Wilson is white. Like, he's black, but he's like a little white boy. Like, he really just is a little white boy. No shit.
Judging people's blackness is exactly what I do. I get it. But you know what? That's how they control us mentally. They put us in a crab in a bucket.
No, that's what they tell you so that you can't call out fucking motherfuckers that really don't act black. I'm not asleep.
I don't know nothing about Russell Wilson. So I can't even say nay or not.
He's so politically correct, Omar. Like, that's all you need to know about him. He's politically correct. He does all the right things all the time. He's perfect. And he has brown skin. The league loves him. They got a brown motherfucker that does everything that they want him to do. That's perfect.
He got a divorce. I don't know. I can't sit here and I don't know Russell Wilson. I don't know Colin Kaepernick. I don't know Cam Newton. So I'm trying not to judge any of them. I really just think that.
I respect that about you. I judge people.
I really just think this is, yes, the NFL, they think it's important that, you know, social justice and police brutality on African-Americans, they would certainly love it to stop, but they don't want one of their players, especially their quarterback, creating awareness or polarizing the law enforcement community, or, you know, wearing a Castro shirt. They don't want a quarterback or a Colin Kaepernick, a face of the franchise, sort of creating that kind of ruckus, because then it says to every other player, you know what, we can do this too. And it might create a change. And that's the last thing the NFL wants. Remember, this isn't the NBA. This is a league where they're not.
Yeah, the last thing the NFL wants is for people to be honest. That's
it. They don't want people to – they don't – you know, we've had these conversations even with Brandt. They don't want people to be their own thinkers.
But even if you are your own thinker, let's just say you don't – you're white. You don't relate to what black people are saying about the police. You don't get it. You've never seen it. Mm-hmm. So that's why you're not kneeling. Understand. But the truth of the matter is what Kaepernick is standing for is truth. So the NFL doesn't want the truth. They would rather you stand up, put your hand over your heart, and pledge the flag, knowing that that flag is not true, knowing that that flag does not represent black people.
They represent America.
It doesn't represent America.
They represent America.
No.
NFL represents America. The last thing they want to tell you is that something is wrong with America. Damn it, we want you to come buy your sports ticket and buy your hot dog and your $10 beer, watch this game, ignore everything that's happening in the world for 5 hours, then leave and come back the next week. Yeah. Or watch us on TV.
Yes.
If some black people happen to be getting
killed on a regular basis, then who gives a fuck? They don't care. They don't care. They want you to support their billion-dollar industry and continue to allow the billionaires who jail us and kill us so they can all make their billions.
You know what I think is important and, like, should be something that's considered or discussed in the community of people who believe that Colin Kaepernick did the right thing. We should be talking about having a blackout for the NFL.
Absolutely.
For week one.
Absolutely.
There should be, if Colin Kaepernick isn't on an NFL roster, and trust me, he deserves to be on an NFL roster. I could name 20 quarterbacks that aren't even in Colin Kaepernick's league. The two Dolphins have on the back end of their roster right now, they don't even belong in training camp, much less on an NFL 53-man roster. And there's no reason Colin Kaepernick shouldn't be in an NFL camp. And if he isn't in an NFL camp, by the time the season rolls around, just for training camp. I'm not saying that you should make the 53-man roster. If he doesn't even get a chance, if they don't even bring him in, somebody's brought him in for a workout. If they don't even sit down and talk to him, I think that we should have some sort of conversation about blacking out the NFL for at least week one, because we know that it's ignorant to say they're going to do it for the entire season, because that's just not going to happen. But week one, you can turn off your TV and not watch your season opener. You can sell your ticket and not attend that first game.
Right.
You can go. You can do something else other than watch the Thursday night game, the Sunday night game, the Monday night game. Even if you watch your own home team, the rest of those games, you need to black it out. There should be some sort of movement, made.
Right.
Maybe
there
people wear slack to the game. But
let me ask you this.
We're not all unified to get that together.
Let me ask you this. So last year, I remember I had you on, and I had Michael Thomas. I talked to Michael Thomas about some stuff, and I found out that, apparently, and this is allegedly, Stephen Ross was pro players kneeling and pro, players having a voice and speaking of how they feel. And now that he has an opportunity to really show us that he's pro black people, that he's pro the movement, he has chosen to not even consider Kaepernick. Like, there wasn't a phone call made, I was told. There was not a single discussion, anything. So am I understanding this correctly, that Mr. Ross once again catfished us and made us believe that he was pro the movement, and now we're finding out he really isn't?
I will say this to you, because it's you.
We got listeners. I get about 20,000 listeners in my first week, Omar. So it's about 20,000 people listening.
I make calls, and I've talked to both sides, And from what I've heard from both sides is that Dolphins owner was supportive of it. Dolphins coaches, I don't know about the front office, cannot speak on the front office, said no because it would take him too long to learn my offense. It was something that Steve Ross was supportive of, and this is something that the head coach.
Hold on. This is the same. Well, you said the coaches said this or the front office said this?
I don't know. I got it from both sides.
Because the front office doesn't know the offense, so it's bullshit. So it had to be the coaches. And
yeah, the coaches. The coaches.
So the coaches do not want Kaepernick.
Coach Adam Gase, whether it was because he was so gung-ho on Cutler, did not want to go that route. He was totally in lockstep on, we got to get Cutler.
Okay. And go ahead.
I understand where his viewpoint, you know, even when it happened, one of my first tweets on the Tannehill injury is, while Kaepernick is a very interesting possibility, I could promise you the first call is going to be to Cutler, trying to talk him out of retirement. They're close. Mm-hmm. So, he did not feel comfortable going into the season with Matt Moore as a starter, and even though Stephen Ross would have greenlit a Kaepernick signing, Dolphins head coach decided that that's not something that he wants to explore at that moment.
So you're telling me Adam Gase, who's supposed to be the quarterback guru, he's supposed to be like the Lord of quarterbacks, right? He's supposed to know, you know, all this. He's actually thinking that a player that actually sat through training camp last year, OTAs, and an entire 16-week season and a playoff game where he finished, 3-1? You're trying to tell me that you would rather go get a motherfucker that has decided to retire over a guy who sat through your entire playbook for an entire year behind Ryan Tannehill, then came in and closed the season quite nicely, if I may say so myself, for someone who never got any first-string reps, someone who never got to throw to these receivers, came in with timing, accuracy, scored touchdowns, put points on the board, knows the offense. Now you're telling me you're paying him $3 million, by the way, which is a fucking steal. You would rather trick off $10 million off of a motherfucker that left the league as a fucking drunk? Really?
Really? That is correct. No, listen, it's about the one thing that I've learned in my 11 years covering the NFL is that it is about relationships. Mm-hmm. And and Jay Cutler and Adam Gase are tight. Adam Gase and Matt Moore are not tight. Who will I rather wager the fact that I can get a new extension on my contract if I produce another winning season, another playoff record? Who would I rather gamble can do that for me? And the answer is going to be Jay Cutler.
Why? Tell me why. What did you see last year that made you think he's better than Matt Moore, someone who has already run the offense? What?
No, I can't tell you. The only thing that I've heard is that he would have a better ability to read and diagnose defenses than Matt, and that he has a stronger arm than Matt. But that's the only thing that I could sit here, because we're talking about a gunslinger. Both of them have a gunslinger reputation. But Gase has you know, in his one season together, Gase helped Cutler get the leading his career best passer rating. But I can't sit there and tell you that there are any different quarterbacks. What I can tell you is that I know Matt Moore owns the locker room.
Yeah.
I know Matt Moore has the confidence of his teammates.
Yes.
And that it's going to be a challenge for Jay Cutler to win that group over. I know that Cutler is going to have to come in there and produce and perform in order to gain the respect of that team. So that's all I could tell you. Jay Cutler's got an uphill battle. Not even involved in learning offense. It's about winning over that locker room. But obviously, he knows exactly what he's getting into, because Gase knows exactly what he's getting into.
Okay. So you guys have this drama going on. So you remember before all this shit started, everybody knows that you and I are friends. And we talk off the air, offline, and all these things. And I told you that when I saw Tannehill's injury, I said he's going to have the option of, you know, sitting it out and trying to, you know, let it heal naturally or getting the surgery. I told you that there is no fucking way Tannehill was getting that surgery. And why did I tell you he wasn't getting that surgery, Omar?
Because he doesn't want people to see Matt Moore play.
Exactly.
And see that there's an alternative.
Right. So it happened anyway. He, Matt Moore got to play. We saw that Matt Moore can actually run this offense. He came off the bench. Imagine this. Imagine sitting on the bench for 14 weeks, holding a clipboard, eating sunflower seeds every week. Suddenly your starting quarterback goes down and you got to come in. You got to play Captain Save-A-Hole and get your team into the playoffs. He actually does that. Gets the team into the playoffs. And then here's an opportunity for the team to say thank you and say, you know what, we're going to give you at least a camp battle. Let's have a camp battle. Let's you and Cutler go at it and see what happens. Matt Moore has never truly been given a camp battle. And if I
and
were
never
here,
will be.
And never will be. And you know what? I'm happy now that they went and got Cutler. Because, you know, I want Matt Moore to steal another $3 million holding a fucking clipboard. Because the Dolphins, this is what they get. I think that Matt Moore is more than qualified to do exactly what Ryan Tannehill did last year, which is get this team to 10 wins and a playoff berth. But they went and got Cutler because Adam Gase allegedly feels safer with him, which is ridiculous. No one feels safe with Cutler. Like, did you not watch him last year? He's not even the same person. You don't know who's going to show up. Now you've got to figure out if this team is even going to accept him in the locker room. What happens if he shits the bed? Do you go to Matt Moore after that?
Yep.
That's what's going to be funny.
And be like, Matt, we've always loved you. It's going to be the same thing. I saw this. You act like I haven't seen this years. I remember it was the 2010 season. Chad Henne was a starter for the Dolphins, and everybody always loved Chad Pennington, relied on Chad Pennington, always went to Chad Pennington for everything and had no respect for Chad Henne. And the truth of the matter is the players consistently lobbied and advocated for Chad Pennington to be the starter. And eventually the coaches gave in and made him the starter. It only lasted for like two snaps because before he tore his shoulder again. But it's happened before. Players celebrated when they finally gave in and let Chad and sat Chad Henne and let Chad Pennington start. I mean, it was like a party in there. Now, we're assuming that the Dolphins will struggle and Chad and Jay Cutler won't play well. Let me be real with you because I'm always going to be real with you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Do you know the amount of texts that I got from players, coaches, my media peers
saying
what I'm in store for with Jay Cutler?
What is it? Saying, give me the tea. Spill it.
Calling him a douche, telling me that this guy's a bitch. He quits. He doesn't love football. Things get hard. He's gonna be on the first plane out. The only person that loves this guy is gay. He's a coach killer. Like, it's a laundry list of things. Like, two people have said positive things to me about Jay. And I understand. I go into every situation with every single player giving you the benefit of the doubt and a clean slate, trying to at least, in terms of what I expect and you get a fresh, come on, Jay Cutler, this is his 13th, this is his 12th season. I'm expecting him to have learned some lessons from the previous 11 seasons that
why?
He played.
Why?
From the
why?
Previous 11 locker rooms that
he's
in. Why?
I see him thinking like this is an opportunity to get $10 free million. I'm sure there's some incentives. Do you know all the incentives of the contract yet?
No. But here's the thing. Who's to say this isn't his opportunity to end his career on a favorable note or extend his career and do so well that he gets another, ridiculous
quarterback
deal? Well,
here's my thing. I'm going off of there's two histories involved here. One of them is Jay Cutler's history, which is terrible. It is absolutely terrible. He has shown us his ass the entire last few years. Granted, he's had some injuries, which is in air quotes, but he's shown us his ass, and we've also seen the history of the Miami Dolphins ritualistically picking the wrong guy at quarterback. Like, this is their MO. This is what they do. They pick the wrong guy at quarterback all the time.
Yeah.
So this just seems
for different varying reasons.
Yeah, reasons, but they always end up with the wrong guy at quarterback.
And you know what it is? You know, I'm gonna be candidly honest with you. They always pick the wrong quarterback because they're always trying to sell the quarterback to the fan base. Matt Moore is not a quarterback you can sell. He's just not. Jay Cutler, strangely enough, you could sell.
Drunk. You could sell a drunk that played like shit. Granted, I understand he was injured.
I understand all the injuries,
but before he was ever... I know him. I know him. And I'm not going to get into exactly how I know him, but trust me and Jay Cutler. We got some connections. Trust. He likes his drinks. There's nothing wrong with that because there are a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL that likes to drink. That's how a lot of them even are able to get on the field is when they're drunk. But my point is this. If you allegedly have a team that went to the playoffs last year, you've got this new coaching staff, you guys are on the way up, you're moving up, why wouldn't it be natural to keep the guy that got you to the playoffs? It doesn't make any sense. Why not Matt Moore? You don't want Cap. You're afraid of everything.
You know why it's not logical?
Matt Moore? Why?
Because Adam Gase is not comfortable with Matt Moore, bottom line.
What is not comfortable about him? He's better than Ryan Tannehill. He's better than
him. I cannot tell you that. I can't tell you that.
Who throws a better deep ball?
Ryan now. I mean, Matt produces bigger plays.
We're talking about a guy who just learned how to throw the deep ball last year.
That is correct.
And you're basically saying just from 1 year of him being able to do it, you've completely forgotten Matt Moore's assassination.
Let the quarterback with the bad knee live.
Lie about the fact that Matt Moore is a better quarterback.
He's been sitting behind
Ryan Tannehill for no reason all these years.
No, he's been sitting behind Ryan Tannehill because Matt Moore can't be sold. So
it has nothing to do with play. It has nothing to do with skill.
No,
zero.
It doesn't have anything to do with skill. Doesn't have anything to do with skill.
Okay.
Matt Moore, this is how I always describe it to people who ask me. Will there be any noticeable difference in the team if Matt Moore is a starter as opposed to Ryan Tannehill?
Right.
My answer is always no. You're going to win and lose the same amount of games. The only difference is you're probably going to put up more points, but you're going to have more turnovers.
Which means when you put up more points, that means you win more games, period. We all know that.
Hopefully.
And second of all, this team has been begging for Matt Moore for 3 years now to start. Am I lying?
No, you're correct.
So the actual team, meaning the guys, the 53.
They had been waiting for Ryan Tannehill's balls to drop to show that he can be the quarterback that everybody in that organization that's
says
in the front office
be.
And the coaching staff tells them that he can be. And he finally showed that before he tore up his knee.
He didn't show that. Stop saying that. He showed you some things under a great offensive scheme. You guys ran the ball last year, which means he took the ball out of his hands, and that decreased a lot of the issues. But when there was games, when there was opportunities for Ryan Tannehill to step up, meaning like jump above that curve that he's been behind, he's shown you that he's still there. The reason you guys won more games is because of your run game, because of your offense.
Nah.
That's my opinion.
The LA stretch of games was when he played at a level where he was leading them to victory. It wasn't a running game.
But we're talking about subpar, below average teams. You're supposed to beat those guys. You're supposed to beat the shit out of them, and you barely beat them. Look at Cleveland. What happened in that game?
Mm-hmm.
What happened in the San Fran game?
They struggled to put those teams away, but eventually did.
Yeah, and those are the games you're supposed to smack the shit out of them if you're a Tannehill
Every single week, a team that's supposed to lose gets the shit. I mean, team that's supposed to lose pulls out a victory.
And that's what happened with the Dolphins when they played against the Steelers, and that's the only reason they got to the playoffs because they won that game. They weren't supposed to win that game. They won that one fucking game.
That's how the NFL works.
Yes, and what I'm saying to you is Ryan Tannehill didn't show me anything different. He showed me that under a good coach, that yes, he can do some really, really good things. He can, because when I was there for 3 years, the motherfucker threw the ball 55 times a game. And it was a shit. It was bullshit. Do you get decrease those numbers? Yes, of course, this, you know, he's gonna, his completion percentage is going to go up. But that doesn't mean he played better. I don't go off of numbers. I watch the actual game. And when I watch the game, the balls ain't dropped yet. They haven't. Flat out. That's it.
Let the man opinion. With one knee live.
Fuck that
man.
Nigga. Fuck that nigga.
Listen, he wasn't going to lead you to Super Bowl.
No.
But neither was Matt Moore.
Right.
Neither is Jay Cutler.
Right.
It you know, Ryan was getting better, and after investing 5 years into him, you would hope getting better.
Four offensive coordinators, hella receivers. I saw you post some on Instagram, and I'm so mad that I can't use my phone right now. But you basically said something like, the Dolphins have great running backs, they have great receivers, they have great tight ends. They have a pretty solid defense, but they're not going to be good because they don't have an offensive line. How many things do you have for this nigga to be great? You need, like, to build a great wall of China around this motherfucker?
Absolutely.
Every single thing has to be perfect for Ryan Tannehill to be great. Think about the rest of the league and all these other quarterbacks. Everybody don't have a dominant scat back and a motherfucker getting 200 yards for six games. Everybody don't have really good two good receivers. Everybody don't have a catching tight end and a blocking tight end. Like, how many things does he need to happen right for you guys to be like, okay, now he's going to be good? Because to me, if he had an offensive line, I could be the quarterback of that fucking team. They have everything. They just don't have a quarterback. They got a motherfucker playing receiver at quarterback. That's the problem. Had they let Matt Moore play this year, you would see a true competitive Dolphins team. You have a legit quarterback over there that knows the offense, that has the confidence of the locker room. Some of the things that all these media people in the front office always says is so important. It's so important if you have the locker room. Matt Moore has the locker room. Jay Cutler will not have this locker room. And yet and still, this team gave him $10 million to come in here. I think it's bullshit.
It is, but this is how the NFL is structured. This is the game that they play.
Yeah.
This is what can they sell, and they can sell Jay Cutler. Ultimately, it's about what Coach Gase is comfortable with. If Coach Gase would have been like, I can rock with Matt Moore, we good, and let's get a backup, then that's what they would have done. But, you know, as of yesterday, Jay Cutler, the offer wasn't sweet enough. And Jay Cutler,
he said no, and then they brought him more money.
I said, I'm going to stay. Then the money improved and he came out of retirement.
That's crazy.
But if he decided that he wasn't going to come out of retirement, they would have patched it up and told you that Matt Moore is the best thing since sliced bread, and they believe in Matt Moore, and they're going to win with Matt Moore. I mean,
they would have lied.
We play.
They would have lied.
Yes, they would have lied. This is the game that we play. I'm very aware of it. I'm very comfortable with it. I just know how to read and decipher the bullshit. Adam Gase was not comfortable with Matt Moore, so that's why we're here with Jay Cutler. They will say it'll be an open competition, and truthfully speaking, it won't be an open competition. The minute Matt Moore slips, they're going to pull his pants down and push him in the corner. That's bottom line. Here's the thing. The scrimmage. He played the scrimmage with one starting offensive lineman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, This is what I sent out a tweet when I first saw that. I'm like, this is a setup. He played the scrimmage with one starting offensive lineman. His first throw was a pick six interception. Then his next series, he drives the team down the middle of the field, throws a 22-yard float on the sideline, back shown catch by Jarvis, then scores a touchdown with Jarvis in the red zone. Okay, we don't need to see Matt Moore no more. Let's see the other scrubs. If he would have gotten a third opportunity and drove the team down the field and scored two touchdowns in his three series, what do you think they would have said? They would have said, that's nice. That's a great performance by Matt. The team would have rallied behind him, and they would have been forced to make a decision. But truthfully speaking, what they probably wanted was him to throw that pick six and for him to stall on the second drive. See, we need a new quarterback. We can't play. We can't win with that boy. Come on,
That's
man.
That's so crazy that you would rather your players stink so that you could do something stupid. Like, this isn't even – that's why the NFL, to me,
I mean,
that's why the NFL will never be better than the NBA, because the NBA is going to play whoever's dope.
Who's to say it was stupid? Because truthfully speaking, Adam Gase is the one person who's going to have to win with this guy, and he's going to have to play with this guy, and he's going to have to coach with this guy. So whoever he wants, that's on him. That's his prerogative.
It's on him.
I'm not gonna sit here and judge him and tell you that he's doing the right thing or doing the wrong thing. Because you know what? Adam Gase is the one that I'm gonna be judging based on what the outcome of the season is.
Okay, well let's jump subject real quick, because it's still Dolphins talk, but I'm not sure if you heard about this Jarvis Landry news in reference to him beating up his baby mama. Did you hear about it?
I heard something, but we looked into it and it's not substantiated.
Well, it happened in March and April, somewhere around there. There was an incident with his baby mama. This is the tea that I dug up. There was an incident in a car with the baby mama. There was some type of situation, but allegedly they worked it out and everything's good. But what I think happened is, I think the Dolphins put this out there as bad news for him because he's trying to get another contract. You know how dirty this game is. You know that. So for somebody to put out some fake news saying that he beat the girl up and he was going to jail, like all this stuff that came out. And as soon as I heard it, I was like, this is some bullshit. Because if this really happened, this would be all over the news. But I think
that has nothing to do with the Dolphins.
Act like the Dolphins don't leak their own dirty news, Omar. I was there for 3 years.
This has nothing to do with the Dolphins. This has something to do with whatever's going on. Trust me, I know where the Dolphins leak information to. This isn't the Dolphins. Now, I'm curious to figure out what's going on with that situation. But from what I understand, you know, they don't have to. They've already come out and said we're really not giving him a contract extension. There isn't
That's
the money
crazy.
To give him a contract extension right now.
They sucked him up. They really made him like low key. On the lowest of keys, the face of the franchise. I mean, to be completely honest with you, this has this is no shade to Jarvis. He's not a number one money type of guy. He is a slot receiver. A lot of his stats are catfish, in my opinion, basically because he has all these records for catches, but a lot of those catches should have been handoffs. They're 2 and 3 yard passes that Tannehill's dinking and dunking the fuck down the field, which, you know, it's not real. You know what I mean? Like, let's just keep it real. However, he got the numbers, and in this league, when you have the numbers, you're supposed to get paid. So what's the problem?
The problem is that if you want my honest opinion, there's a receiver out there in Philadelphia on a one-year deal who they believe can improve the offense. And it won't be as demanding in Philadelphia. There's also Devontae Parker, who's gaining steam as the number one receiver and a top target. I guarantee he's going to get the most targets this year. I don't know about with Cutler, but they've been phasing Jarvis out during practice already.
Oh, my God.
I know how the game is played. You know, and Jarvis is probably not going to like his lessened role, and Jarvis is probably not going to want to play nice and well with everybody and give you the political answers. And, you know, it's the business of the NFL. It's ugly. It is. And that's what people don't understand. I've been here. I've seen it. I've lived through it. I've been on both sides of it. I've seen them try to poison the media and tell you that this guy is not playing well anymore. We got to shake him down for a new contract, you know, to take a pay cut. You know, this is the reality of what goes on in the league.
So
unfortunately, fans don't give a shit.
So basically, we're gonna see a Brian Hartline type of situation in 2017 for Jarvis Landry. We're gonna see him being frozen out. We're going to only see him being used when it's – are they really going to still give him stats? Are they going to give him numbers so that he can get a check from
somebody
else?
I think he'll have I think he'll have numbers. Okay. I mean, I'm not crying for Jarvis because worst case scenario, he gets franchise tag next year.
Okay.
Or best case scenario, they let him become a free agent and they see exactly what he's worth on the open market, which is what I think is the best situation for all players.
Mm-hmm.
So either way, Jarvis is going to win. But right now, he's going to be playing for $900,000 because they're not going to extend him. And in fact, the truth is they don't have the money to extend him now after the contract they just gave Jay Cutler.
It's just unfair. You done brought in a drunk motherfucker who been chilling on the couch to basically be the face of your franchise while Jarvis Landry has been working his motherfucking ass off doing everything possible to get this team to where they to where they are now, and now the Dolphins are giving him their ass to kiss. That's why I don't fuck with the NFL. Like this shit is crazy to me.
This is happening on 32 other teams, on 31 other teams. It's just the business of the league. This is how they roll. This is how they operate. I'm surprised that you surprised.
I thought it could happen to Jarvis, but I really just didn't think it was gonna happen. I really didn't. Like, I really was just like, nah, there's no way they're going to do Jarvis like that. But I don't know why I'm surprised when I just seen them give Sue $500 million at D-tackle. The Dolphins is over there continuing to be the dumpster fire of the AFC East. And now the Jets may take over. We don't know. But what we do know is they don't want Colin Kaepernick. Nobody want him. And switching gears, Cordell Stewart's, I'm in the closet ass, just decided to open his motherfucking mouth. See, this is my problem with these people that are speaking on Kaepernick's situation. Like, if you don't come from an educational standpoint, sit this one out, my nigga. Like, shut the fuck up if you're not going to educate yourself on what's going on.
Hold on. I don't know what Cordell said, but
this
Cordell
is the quote.
Was probably the...
You said Cordell's what?
Cordell's probably one of the first that had to deal with the one, after... Cordell was a pioneer for the black quarterbacks.
Wasn't he?
Wasn't he?
Yeah,
he
You would
was.
Think, huh? Well, Cordell Stewart said Colin Kaepernick shouldn't be so loud about his social activism. He needs to be quieter about it. Don't be so loud. Cordell Stewart, if you're listening to this, shut the fuck up. That's the first thing. Second of all, the only reason that you were able to be who you were, Cordell Stewart, is because other motherfuckers were loud. There were other people loud so that you could be where you were. So please stop telling people that are being loud for the future of the black athlete and just black people in general that are trying to move this country forward. Shut up, Cordell. If you're not coming out of the closet, we don't need to hear from you, okay? That's my opinion.
Cordell went through a lot to get to the point where he was and still... you know, dealing with a lot. I have a lot of respect for him.
I don't fuck with him no more. He did my homegirl dirty as fuck. Shout out Portia.
Yeah. I do know that. Here's the biggest issue to me with, you know, Colin Kaepernick. If he is making a choice and he is being forced to make a choice. You could either do social activism, or you could be a quarterback in the NFL. We're not going to guarantee you're going to be a starter, or you could be a quarterback in the NFL. And if you want to be a quarterback in the NFL, you're going to have to give up the social activism. Or like
much.
Cordell says, be less vocal, or active, or active, grabbing attention, you know. And I don't even think this kid is, you know, people found out about his protest because they finally noticed after
years
that
he's been protesting. Yeah, he's been protesting. He never did this for attention. It wasn't like, look at me.
Yeah.
He was doing it already, and when somebody caught it, then he came out and was like, well, yeah, I have been protesting for over a year now. Nobody ever noticed it because nobody really cared. Like, nobody really cared, and now all of a sudden they care.
So it's not like he's doing this to gain attention. He's doing this to create awareness.
Yes.
But you know what people in the league are saying? He don't want to play quarterback no more.
Right.
He's
not serious
anymore.
Because he went vegan. When you go vegan, that means you're not serious. Like, are you fucking serious?
There are so many rumors within NFL circles.
Oh, his girlfriend. His girlfriend made him become a Muslim, and now he's ISIS. This is all a plot to kill, you know, to fuck up the country. That's what it is.
Oh, sure. Trust me, he's not playing in the NFL this year. He getting, as I call it, a Richie incognito timeout. Now, if you want to get back in, you're going to have to be like Richie and say all the right things and do all the right classes and, you know, and dance for the man. And then eventually you're going to have to get an opportunity to show him that you can play and become a Pro Bowler and then come out your little cave and not act like you punched drunk. But he's not playing this season. I've come to terms with that. And I think the best thing for people who support him should be to create awareness to what's going on and what mm-hmm. the NFL stands for and what they represent. We should have a week one blackout.
We should.
Now
we definitely should.
Now, will the black community support it? Will they embrace it? Will they not watch the NFL? Will they? You know, what will they do? I guarantee they won't do shit.
Yeah, but, because people, you know, people aren't going to do anything.
Now,
people aren't going to do anything.
It's
going to take so
well.
Much. It's going to take so much for something to be done, and it's just not going to happen. There's just not enough people that are willing to take that stand. You know, like it's just not. It's not enough people.
For the same reason that more people in the NFL who supported Colin Kaepernick, I'm talking about players, because I sat there in the locker room with Dolphins players, and to a man, they supported Colin Kaepernick and wished they could take a knee, but they weren't in a financial position like Colin Kaepernick.
Right.
I remember sitting there in the locker room, and these Negroes knew to the dollar how much money Colin Kaepernick had made.
Right.
And their justification was, I ain't make $67 million.
Right.
Colin Kaepernick did. I'm over here on my first deal.
Yeah, people were being quiet. Yeah.
Like you crazy. Like, I ain't gonna tell Master that he wrong.
Hell no.
Please. That's exactly the kind of environment that they're trying to create in the NFL. You see a leader for social activism, you see what we did to him? You better get in line.
We're gonna take him down.
Or it's gonna be done to you too.
Switching gears real quick. So it looks like Byron Maxwell is going to be starting in your secondary over there in Miami. What the fuck is going on over here? Didn't you guys already figure out he was catfish? Did you guys not figure out that you overpaid for him and you should sit him down and get a legit starter? What's going on?
Tony Lippett and then the rookie Cordero Tankersley are the only two options to start. And neither one of them are making $8.2 million. So
they're going to play whoever makes the money. Typical NFL.
No, they're going to start out with the guy making the money, and then if he doesn't play well, then they'll say, "Oh, well, we tried. Let's go to the younger cats for the developmental standpoint." You know, it is what it is. We've been here before with, you know, he's not looking horrible. What they say is that he's working on some things and to strengthen his game, and, you know, he's not playing to his strength. And, you know, I'll judge it when the real games come on. I have a good track record of judging real games, so I'm not going to sit here and judge practice. You're the one talking me out of evaluating players and what they do in practice. So
I don't need to see him in practice. I've seen enough film. I saw him in Seattle when everyone thought he was great, and I was watching the actual film, and I was like, no, he's not. He is not great. That's a great defense propping him and Richard Sherman up. Now, granted, Sherman's better than him, but he was totally being propped up. We saw in Philly when you had to put that motherfucker on the island and actually make him earn his money that he's not that guy. And then you come to Miami. He gets benched last year. Didn't he get benched last year?
Yes, he did.
And you're saying, fuck it, we're going to just start him because we paid him more money. I expect to see Tony Lippett or the other guy you were talking about by week three. Because once you get through week one, once DeSean Jackson run him up out of his motherfucking hamstring, and they're going to switch him over and try to put him on Mike Evans, and Mike Evans going to bully that motherfucker, yeah, it's going to be a wrap. It's going to be a wrap. We finna slice and dice you motherfuckers up week one. I can't even wait. I can't fucking wait.
Yeah.
I can't fucking wait.
The funny thing is, Dolphin fans used to be in my mentions, oh man, Tannehill's going to tear up Brett Grimes. I'm like, man, please. I've been watching how many years of practice? Tannehill, do not throw to Brett Grimes.
He ain't never throw at him in practice. Why would they think he was going to throw at him in an actual live game? He's
throw it in an actual game. I'm like, if Tannehill is smart, he'd leave Brent the fuck alone and attack everybody else. Now, you don't even have to worry about that. Jay Cutler is just going do what he do.
And Jay Cutler left Brennan alone last year. I think he threw at him three times, two pass breakups and one interception last year. Bring it on, Jay Cutler. No. Bring it the fuck on.
Oh, Brennan has an interception on Jay?
Yes, last year. Yes. Two pass breakups and an interception in the game. He threw at him three times. That was the stats, I believe, if I'm not, you know, mistaken.
Wow.
It's going down. Your best bet is Matt Moore. I'm telling you, Matt Moore has a better chance at getting the ball past Brent Grimes than any of your other two quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit, we got a fucking tornado coming? Oh, my God. Not a tornado. Is that a tornado or a hurricane? Lightning? Oh, my God. We got lightning striking everywhere, Omar. Listen, I done had you on for almost 45 minutes. Can you give me... So what are you thinking right now, week one? You got the Dolphins or you got the Bucks? Give it to me. You know you got Jay Cutler now.
I have no idea. Can I watch Jay Cutler practice first? One practice?
Yes. Go ahead and watch.
Give me a week of practice.
I'm going to give you one preseason game, as a matter of fact. I might have you on
appreciate
next week.
Appreciate that.
Everybody loves you
appreciate
on my
that
show.
Generosity.
Everybody loves you on here, so you might need to be here every week. It might just need to be me and you during training camp.
That's because we have great chemistry. We people. So
we folks.
We
folks. So thank
you. I'm looking forward to seeing both the Hard Knocks and the what's the show? The VH1 show?
Baller Wives on VH1. Yes. Yeah. It's gonna be a Monday night. So we got Hard Knocks on Tuesdays and Baller Wives on Mondays.
Next week, right?
This week is Hard Knocks. This Tuesday is Hard Knocks. But next week, then we'll have Baller Wives and Hard Knocks. So I'm going to be on Monday and Tuesday on everybody's motherfucking nerves. 2 days out the 7 days of the week. It's going to be on and popping, Omar. It's going to be so fun. I'm going to have you on next week for sure. We're going to keep this thing all going. Right. This is all training camp. This is training cramp, a little cramp. This is training camp episode. So as all the bullshit that's going on there, I'm definitely going to have you on. But I am going to have some other people from other teams on as well. So just be ready for me, my nigga. Just be ready. Give your girl some time. You see my shit is set up. I'm live, baby. Next week, I'm going to have you live, too, so they can see you as well. I'm going to be there. Right, Greg?
Yep. Girl, you know I ain't into that technical,
logical stuff, you need is sit your phone up and put it on Skype. So they can see you.
Oh, okay.
So everybody can see you. You're going to be on Skype. I got you.
All right.
All right. Take care.
All right. Talk to you later.
Peace. Shout out Omar Kelly for joining me today. I call him my radio. He was my radio husband. Now he's my ex-husband since the bitch was fired. But I want to say thank you to Omar for always joining me, always bringing me the facts, keeping it real. I know a lot of you guys said that was your first time hearing Omar cuss. Yes, that motherfucker cusses all the time, but when you're a professional and you're on 560, you have to do all these other interviews, you learn how to separate yourself. You can be a real nigga on my podcast, but then you have to speak resume when you're talking to the people, you know, when you're getting a check from the man from CBS. So shout out Omar for joining me. Like I said before, these are all fucking training camp episodes. If you want anyone from your team, if you have a beat writer, if whoever kind of reporter or radio guy that represents your team, that covers your team, I don't care what the team is, and you want them to come on during training camp and give us the tea, let us know how your team's doing, please, please tag me on Instagram or tag me on Twitter, and I will have anybody on. I'm pretty sure I'm gonna get some Texan shit. I'm gonna get some Falcon shit. I'm gonna get some Saints shit. I'm gonna try to get some Carolina shit. I'm gonna get Giant shit. I'm gonna get the Eagles shit. I'm gonna get Redskins. Those are the seven teams that I already have relationships with other reporters who are ready to come on. So if I didn't name your team and you want your team to be spoken for on the iHeartMeeko podcast, please hit me up. Tag me with the reporter. I will hit them up and ask them if they want to come on. I'm not gonna beg. I don't give a fuck if you don't wanna come on my shit. My shit is lit. And you're gonna have to be a real nigga if you come on here. You don't have to cuss, but I want honesty. I don't want the cookie cutter answers that all the reporters talk about. I want the honest truth about what's going on with the team behind the scenes of what's happening. So I'm down to let anybody on. Shout out to you guys for putting up with me and getting this live thing going. But this is going to be a weekly thing now. I'm going to do my absolute best to have a set time. I'm aiming for Sunday nights. Now, might do halftime of the Sunday night game and roll that into the second half, because sometimes those games are fucking over by the second half. If it's a good game, we might do it after the game, which would be like an 11 o'clock broadcast on the East Coast, 8 o'clock on the West Coast. That's something I'm playing with. If it's not that, then it's for sure going to be on a Monday morning, sometime before noon, so sometime between 8 a.m. and 12 noon. I know a lot of you guys are working. That's why I'm trying to do the Sunday night thing. But just rock with me. Fuck with me. I'm moving up. Everything's advancing. Just stay with me, and I promise you it's going to be fun. And it's going to be entertaining. Peace. Breathe. Breathe. Breathe.